Our first lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Our second scripture reading comes from John chapter 13. Listen for God's word. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The word of God for the people of God. 6 weeks ago, I stood here on Ash Wednesday and invited everyone to take a moment and feel their pulse. We were beginning our Lenten series on worship, the heartbeat of faith. Worship builds, strengthens, and maintains a strong heartbeat in our faith. That moment when we feel our heartbeat together has become an important touch point throughout this Lenten season. To stop and center ourselves, to drop down into our bodies and pay attention to the heartbeat of our lives and faith. It's become something of a Lenten ritual this year, to begin our services by feeling our pulse and getting in touch with the heartbeat of faith itself, worshiping God. What I didn't know on that night 6 weeks ago was how important this exercise, this ritual would become, especially as the coronavirus spread into a pandemic, or as our anxiety grew about what was happening, and certainly as we had to distance ourselves from one another. I've appreciated the ritual of feeling my pulse as you have felt yours in our various online gatherings throughout Lent. It's been a way to connect and be community in the midst of so much isolation, because connection and community are what I miss these days, being able to gather together. I'd noticed just how much I missed this when we were passing out palms and communion sets last Friday and Saturday. It was so good to see many of you in person. To sit, to share a hello, to ask how you're holding up, and simply to see you, albeit from a safe distance. Not on a computer screen, but to see you in person. I love what we are doing with technology and how our church is growing and being a gift to people in many different places. But I also love seeing people in person. I was struck by the number of times that I either lingered by the car after giving people their palms in communion sets, or people took a little extra time to talk before driving on. A few times, people even teared up. They had been without people for so long. We need community and connection. We were made for it. It's where we can best learn how to be who God created us to be. And if we listen closely to our scripture readings, it's where we find that our worship ultimately leads us to connection into community by serving others. Our scripture readings invite us to hear how serving is a strong part of a heart, is part of a strong heartbeat. In Matthew, the disciples approached Jesus and asked him where he wanted them to prepare the Passover meal. They were all faithful Jews who gathered for food, fellowship, and the opportunity to tell again the liberating story of how God had led their people out of slavery. Remembering the Exodus was an important part of their heartbeat of faith. And Jesus knew a man who would host them for their meal and then sent the disciples to get things set up. We aren't told what it was like at the meal, but we know what happens on Friday, and it seems that Jesus also knew what was going to happen the next day. I imagine that the meal was full of grief for Jesus as well as joy. He was sitting with people he had spent the last 3 years trying to teach, trying to lead, trying to show how to fish and catch people, trying to deepen their faith and open their eyes to God's love and grace, God's peace and justice. And now in Matthew's story, he was having a last supper with them before the events of Good Friday unfolded, before he would be isolated from his friends by false accusations, betrayal, torture, crucifixion, and death. I imagine that's why Jesus spoke up and told them just how important the meal really was that they were having together, because in some ways it was representing the next Exodus to come. He took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, offered thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Drink from it, all of you." In that food, Jesus was building connections and community with his disciples. He wanted them to know that the meal should remind them of Jesus and of God's liberating forgiveness that was coming really soon. But Matthew wants us to see something more. Jesus wouldn't have this meal again, he says, until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Sharing this meal with them was so important to Jesus that he was going to wait until they were together again before he ate it. He wanted them to know that it wasn't just the meal that was important, it was them. It was their connection to one another. It was his love for them and the life they shared that also mattered. John's story of the Passover emphasizes something different. John doesn't tell us about the meal they shared. Instead, during supper, Jesus had this overwhelming sense that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, like he was connected to the heartbeat of his own faith. So he got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water into a bowl, into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that he had tied around him. Jesus washed their feet. That's what John wants us to see. Their Lord and teacher washed their feet. "I have set you an example," he said, "that you also should do as I have done to you." It's interesting to me that washing feet is what John focuses on rather than the meal itself. For 2,000 years, the church has focused more on the meal than washing feet. In fact, if churches do wash feet, they often only do it on this day, Maundy Thursday. But both the meal and washing feet are acts of service. Both are times when we serve and are served. Both invite us to drop down into our bodies and feel the pulse of the moment, the vulnerability, the call to love and serve that Jesus is building connection with his disciples. And that's what we're called to do as well. We know why Jesus serves both a meal and washes their feet. He will go on to serve as the one through whom forgiveness comes in his death and resurrection. That's what these acts point to. But if we truly listen and follow him, then we too are invited to hear this important part of worship and how we live. Who can we serve? Who can we tell with food and with presence, with care and vulnerability, that we notice them, that we see them, that we miss them, that we love them, that we are connected and part of a community of faith together, and that no pandemic is more powerful than our faith and our God? What these passages show us, what this meal and foot washing tell us, is that worship leads to service. We respond to God's love and grace with service, and service strengthens our heartbeat of faith. As we feel our pulse, we worship God and we thank God for the gift of life, but this gift then sends us out to share it with others. How can we share God's heartbeat of love and grace, especially as it leads us into the darkness of Holy Week and through this pandemic? How can we serve others in ways that tell them that we are going through this scary, troubling, confusing time together? Be it a pandemic, or hunger, or job loss, or isolation, or anything else that seems to separate us from God, ourselves, one another, and this world God loves. As we share in the meal and washing with water and prayers and lighting candles in this service today, may you know the connection and community of this church, of worship together, of God's love for you in Jesus Christ. And may you hear the call in these acts to serve others as God and Jesus Christ has served you. Amen.